Oh, hey, didn't see you there. What are you doing there? Hope you're having a good day. Andy here. I went from depressed and suicidal to living a life of abundance and joy. If I can do it, you sure as hell can too. I want to go through and answer some random assorted questions that I've been asked over the last couple of weeks. And we'll have a bit of fun. This will be a pretty chill episode. Let's get into it. The very first question is, how can I stop imagining my entire life with a girl that I only know online? My ex-girlfriend introduced me to this girl, and we've only really interacted on social media, and I feel myself being pretty obsessed. This is a surprisingly easy answer. Meet this girl in person. And if you can't meet this girl in person, then I would, generally speaking, not be spending all my time and energy talking to someone that I'm never going to meet in person. A lot of the time, guys and girls will try and play it safe and they'll keep talking online. You know, maybe that's on Tinder, maybe that's with someone on social media, maybe it's someone you've never met before. And they'll spend all this time like supposedly getting to know each other. And really all you're doing is procrastinating getting to know each other, because in person is where it's really at. Online, they're just pixels on a screen. It's a hypothetical person, but you haven't actually met them yet. You don't know what their body language is like. You don't know what their laugh sounds like. And you might do, you know, FaceTime calls and shit, but that's not the same as in person. You don't get a sense for how the person responds to you, whether they laugh at your jokes, whether you guys have some chemistry, whether you're actually attracted to each other. An in-person attraction is radically different from pictures or videos or anything online. Basically, you only get little bits and pieces if you're just talking to someone through a phone screen or through a laptop screen. And when you actually meet in person, that's when you see if you actually like each other. And so I see a lot of people, and it's not usually people in this community, and no hate if you do this, but I see a lot of people, often just, you know, normal people, that will spend all of this time avoiding actually meeting someone out of nervousness, out of some sense of, oh, but we're building rapport, you know, we're getting to know each other before we meet in person. No, you're just procrastinating because you're nervous, and that's okay. But the very simple answer here is go meet in person and find out if you actually like each other. To answer the question a little further, because, you know, the start of the question is, how can I stop imagining my entire life with a girl that I know online? Why would you imagine your life with any person? Like, the idea of your life only being special or being better if it has another person in it, you know, the concept of like one-itis or being obsessed with someone else and putting the burden of your own happiness on them, as in expecting that they will make you happy rather than doing it yourself, it's a recipe for sadness, because at some point that person is going to leave you. And that doesn't mean that they will necessarily break up with you, but at some point either they or you will die, or you'll break up before that. And so the idea of like being together forever and spending my whole life with this person, it's just a recipe for sadness. You're going to disappoint yourself when they leave, or you leave, or they break up, or you grow distant, or they die, or you die, or you just slowly fade out of each other's lives, or any number of 1 billion things that could happen, or they cheat on you, or you cheat on them, or one day you just wake up and you found someone else, or any of these things. But if you sort of expect or imagine your entire life with someone, you're really just setting yourself up for disappointment. The one consistency, the one person who will always be with you is you. And so rather than putting the happiness burden or the burden of happiness on someone else and expecting someone else to be the person that makes you happy, you go first. You make yourself happy. You be the person that you want to be, live the life that you want to live, build the life that you want to build. And in other words, be an independent, sovereign individual who's happy on their own. In other words, you can be okay with being single. And then if you have somebody else come along that you want to share some stuff with, that's amazing. But you'll be okay on your own too. A book that really helps with this is I Need Your Love, Is That True? By Byron Katie. And another really good book is How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World. And there's plenty more books that cover these topics. And all of these books and my Play to Win video course covers this as well. all of these concepts or these books and video courses and shit are really just there to get you to be okay with being on your own. You know, anytime someone says, I'm imagining my entire life with this other person, what that immediately tells me is you're not happy with your own life. You're not living an independent life that you're really happy with. Because if you were, you'd be too busy living your life rather than sitting there imagining your entire life with this other person. And think what a burden that is on this other person. You know, imagine if you were to tell this stuff to this girl, hey, I've been imagining my entire life with you. I'm expecting you to make me happy. It's like, what a burden for this poor girl. And so many people do this, don't they? You know, people expect that marriage will just make them happy, or they expect, like, if they can get the girl or the guy of their dreams, they'll suddenly be happy. Man, what an unfair burden to put on that other person. Because what happens if that person comes home from work one day and they're a little bit tired and grumpy, but you've been expecting them to make you happy? And so what do you do on that day? You know, you want them to give you a cuddle and make you feel good about yourself because you don't know how to give that to yourself. You don't know how to make yourself feel good. And they're tired and grumpy on this day and they can't give you that thing. And then you feel disappointed, you feel depressed, you start to think something's gone wrong, you start thinking, fuck, maybe this relationship isn't special, maybe she's not the one. You have a big fight, you argue, and all of that is because you were putting the burden of happiness on them. You were expecting them to make you happy. But if you instead can learn to make yourself happy, you know, through independence, through stoicism, through building a life that you enjoy, through friends, through hobbies, through some sort of goal or mission or purpose, then the other person is just a bonus in your life. In other words, you're sharing your life with them. You know, there's this thing that people say where they're like, oh, this person completes me. This person is my other half. And it's like, no, why don't you be a complete whole person and somebody else can be a bonus to that? But the idea that someone else is going to complete you, man, what an unfair burden to put on them. And you wouldn't do that with friends. Like, you wouldn't have one single friend who has to be there for you and be everything for you, would you? That wouldn't be fair to that friend. But yet with relationships, we expect that we're just going to have one person that will make us happy. And I'm not saying not to do monogamy. That's not what I mean. But I mean, if you're going to do monogamy, do it in a way where you don't expect the other person to make you happy all the time. Don't let them, or don't make them, the sole person in your life that's going to make you happy. You know, be, or make yourself happy. Have your friends for happiness as well. Have family, have hobbies, have a mission, have goals, have a higher purpose, have spirituality if you're into that. Have all of this kind of stuff. And that's also more attractive to the opposite sex too, especially as a guy. If you're a guy that has an independent, interesting life or has some goals and some hobbies, then this girl's going to be way more into you. But if you just have nothing really going on in your life to the point where you're sitting around imagining your life with her, that might be interesting at the start, but that quickly gets old and grows tiring, because what do you have to share with her? Hey, honey, today I just sat around thinking about you all day. Cool. Did you do anything interesting? Nope. I just sat around thinking about you. It quickly becomes a bit boring. So build your own life and then she can be a bonus to it. And if she doesn't want to be with you, that's okay. But I would suggest in this case, bloody well ask her out on a date and meet in person. Don't sit there talking online, because you don't know someone online. All right. Next question I got was, how do I get up to a girl's place? In other words, how do I go to a woman's place if I don't have my own apartment or space? How do we have sex in her place? Very easy answer. You just talk about it. You literally just use your words and say, hey, look, I don't have my own space. What are your living arrangements like? And this is something that I learned to do myself. I didn't really learn to do it. I just said the words, but this is something that I did myself. I had a friend, this was a couple of years ago, I don't know, like 5 years ago. He stayed at my place for about 9 months, and he was originally just going to crash on my couch for a couple of weeks, but he ended up staying for 9 months. You know, this is someone that's probably my best mate, so I was quite happy to have him there for that time. But it did mean that I wasn't really going to have a whole lot of sex, because that apartment that we were in was very small and we didn't really have a bedroom. We didn't have two bedrooms. And so he kind of had to sleep on the couch and sleep in the living room. And we made the living room kind of like his room. And so I wasn't really going to bring girls home and walk through his living space to my bedroom and then fuck their brains out with him literally like right there. And so what I did was with lots of the women that I would meet, I would literally just have a conversation with them and say, look, I got a mate crashing at my place for a little while. So my place is kind of off limits. What are your living arrangements like? And then we would just figure it out and we'd talk about it. And some of them, I could go to their place because they lived on their own. Most of them had a roommate, so we'd have to figure that out. We'd kind of just organize the logistics between when my friend was not going to be home, or I would text him and say, hey, can I have the apartment free for like an hour tonight? Or maybe the girls themselves would do the same thing with their roommates and they'd say, can I have the apartment free for an hour or so? Or when are you going to be at work? Like, blah, blah, blah. And we just figure it out. Like a lot of these questions where it's like, how do I get back to a woman's place? It's like you're trying to look for some not manipulation tactic, but you're trying to look for some like secret tactic that you can use to do it. But it's like, what if you drop all the tactics and all the games and you just literally say to her, yo, is your apartment free? And then you two can figure it out. A lot of questions, and women do this too. Men and women will both do this where they'll like ask for the secret technique or like, how do I do this thing? And it's like, why don't you just talk to the other person? You can kind of think of it like you and whoever you're going to sleep with or date. You two are kind of like solving all these little puzzles together, these little hurdles or these problems of like, how do we end up having sex together? How do we build a relationship if that's what you're both looking for? Like, how do we solve these problems? How do we figure out these solutions? And you can have that other person be on the same team as you. Like, you two are figuring it out together. You know, she obviously wants to have sex with you. And if she doesn't, then she'll tell you that or you can ask it. But she obviously likes you to some degree. That's why you're on a date. So you can just talk about it and say like, hey, I like you. I kind of want to make out with you and fool around with you and stuff like that. But I don't have my own place free. What are you thinking? Like, do you have your own place free? Like, how do we solve this together? Is this something you're interested in? Do you want to fool around with me? And most of the time they'll say yes. Otherwise, they wouldn't be on a date with you. But you can kind of figure all this stuff out together. And any women listening, all this stuff applies to you too. So many women do this stuff too, where they'll go to their female friends and they'll be like, how do I get this guy to like me? How do I get him to commit to me? It's like, why don't you just fucking talk to him and use your words like an adult? And maybe I sound a little harsh in saying that. That isn't my intention, but man, so many times we look for all of these little techniques and these manipulation tactics and like, how do I sneak my way into her panties, or, you know, how do I get a relationship out of him and get him to commit and force him to commit and manipulate him into committing? It's like, why don't you just say, hey, I'm looking for commitment. What are you looking for? Would you like to talk about it? What do we want to do here? And you can just use your words. So that's going to be my answer to this question. Literally just talk about it and say like, Do you want to fool around a little bit? How do we do that? How do we solve that problem together? At the end of the day, women are on your team, or if you're a woman listening, men are on your team, and you can figure this stuff out together, figure these solutions out together. That's all I've ever done, and it works pretty damn well because two heads are better than one. All right, next question is, what do I text a girl that I met at a nightclub the night before? Like, what do I text her the next day? And the question goes on to say, in my specific case, this chick was kind of drunk and I had to carry her down the stairs and then I sent her home in a taxi. Now it's the next day. I'm not sure what to text her. All right. So I've talked about this many times. If you meet girls in nightclubs or bars and stuff like that, but particularly nightclubs where people tend to be very drunk and very silly. And when I say silly, I mean like they're not rational, they're not logical, they're drunk as fuck. And most people go to clubs to let go, to let loose, right? To get really drunk, to give way to like let go of their own inhibitions, to just give way to letting their body, you know, move with the music, move with the alcohol. Maybe sometimes drugs are involved. People literally go to let go, kind of like the opposite of being rational and logical and sober, right? Like that's kind of a big point of nightclubs. Even the dancing is there to like let go and let your body flow and all of that beautiful stuff. And so generally speaking, what I usually recommend for most guys, if you're meeting someone in clubs, I recommend you try and have sex with them or see if they're interested in having sex with you that night. You know, I generally speaking, I say, don't worry about swapping phone numbers because 99% of the time you both wake up the next day and one of you might be into the other person, but the other person is sober now and they're like, oh, I'm not in that same mood. I was in, especially for women, most women go to clubs and, you know, especially if they're there a little drunk like this girl was, they go there to let go and do stuff that they wouldn't normally do when they're sober. They go there almost to be a completely different person, to like let loose. And then when they sober up the next day, most of them go back to their normal life of being a, quote, good girl or a sober girl, whatever you want to call it. And so generally speaking, what I say is if you're wanting to hook up or fool around or have a bit of fun, do that while you're both in that mood. And that doesn't mean you won't keep seeing each other afterwards, of course, but a lot of the time I see guys kind of like, not play it safe, but like they'll meet a girl, you know, they have a great time, they're dancing, they're feeling the music, feeling the vibe and all of that. But then he just plays it safe and takes a phone number. And then it's like, well, the next day she might not be feeling like she wants to text you. And so don't get disheartened, I guess, is what I'm leading towards. If you get some phone numbers from girls in bars or girls in clubs, let's talk specifically about clubs because clubs are like an even more drunk, even less sober version of bars. You can meet people in bars and they're often relatively sober, but usually in clubs, most people are pretty fucking wasted or high. And so, you know, if you play it safe and in a club and you get a phone number, don't be surprised if the next day she doesn't fucking reply to you, or she's kind of half replying, but she doesn't really remember you, or she's just not in the same mood and headspace that she was in that night before, you know, where you're feeling the music, you're feeling sexy, you're feeling good, like you're feeling a bit of that energy and all of that. And then the next day you sober up and you're not feeling any of that. And so some of that enthusiasm has gone. Now, in this specific case, this particular guy says the girl that he was with was so drunk that he had to carry her down the stairs. Yeah, you're obviously not going to have sex with someone that's so fucking drunk that they're not even with it, of course. And so getting a phone number, sure, go for it. But basically, I wouldn't put all this pressure on yourself now as you're texting that you have to like say the perfect thing or something. And I'm not trying to dishearten you and tell you like, oh, chances are she won't reply anyway. But that said, statistically speaking, chances are she won't reply anyway, or she won't really be that enthusiastic anyway. She might not even remember you that much. So it doesn't really matter what you text, just text and say, hey, you know, hope you got home okay. Hope you're feeling good. It was cool meeting you. And then if she replies, that's amazing. Say like, yo, we should grab another drink. We should go dancing again sometime, or we should go grab a coffee sometime, or like, yo, let's meet up. Like, what are you up to on Friday? And just pitch a date. Like, you don't have to have anything special to text. You definitely don't have to like keep texting and like build rapport or some shit. Like, you know, just meet up and the person either wants to meet you or they don't. You'll come to see the more people that you talk to, you know, in this beautiful landscape of dating, the more people that you talk to, you'll come to realize sometimes there's just nothing that I can say that makes someone want to meet up with me again, like, or meet up with me for a date, like a proper date, not drunk in a nightclub. And it almost doesn't matter what I say sometimes. Like if the person isn't interested in meeting me, they're not interested in meeting me. Or if they were in this really fun, flirty, crazy mood when I was clubbing with them or when we were both in the same club together, that might not translate the next day. She might not be feeling like that again the next day. And that's cool. That's why we always talk about the numbers game and going out and finding more people to talk to. And each individual person is going to be into you or they're not going to be into you. But there often isn't a whole lot you can do to change that. Obviously, self-improvement and making yourself a more interesting, more attractive, more cool, more confident human being can help. And that applies to men and women. You know, self-improvement is universal. But on top of that self-improvement, once you've improved or as you're improving yourself, you just go talk to more people and find the ones that are into you. And then you don't have to worry so much about like, how do I have the correct thing to say? Like, what is the best thing to text? Really, the best thing to text is, hey, I like you. Do you want to go on a date with me? Like the honesty. Just say the most honest thing. If that's, holy fuck, I found you so hot last night. Man, I really want to go on a date with you. Text that. Generally speaking, honesty is what I encourage and because it's what I like to do myself and it's what I've seen the best results with. And maybe we'll answer one more question today. And this one is, how do you define a, quote, high value girl or woman? I have no idea what, quote, high value actually is. Yeah, this is something that comes up a lot in dating circles, right? Like, men and women both do this, where they'll be like, you need to date high value people. You know, to women, people will say, you know, girl, you need to understand your own value and make sure you only date like real men. And to men, lots of people will say, you need to date women who are high value, but no one ever defines exactly what high value is. And realize that high value is just a term that can kind of mean whatever the fuck you want it to mean. And that's kind of going to be my answer here. It doesn't really matter what I, Andy, think high value is. It's what do you actually want? And I have a set of questions that I like to ask myself with each individual person. And I try and just keep an open mind with each person that I meet rather than going, oh, I got to go out and meet a high value woman. Instead, I just put myself out there, you know, on dating apps, out in person, and I talk to as many people as I can. And each individual person, each individual human being, I just take each person as they come. And I ask myself these questions. Do I like this person? Do they seem to like me? And I can often just ask that. Do you like me? Would dating them, or do I think dating them might add to my life? And do I think that them dating me might add to their life? So in other words, do I like them? Do they like me? Would dating them add to my life? And would dating me add to their life? And that's it. I just ask those four questions, and they're very basic questions. And then I don't have to worry about like, is this person a high value woman? Is she like a 10 out of 10? Is she like a 9? Like, am I settling? Like, I don't have to worry about any of that shit. Is she hot enough for me? What will other people say? Like, will other people think that she's high value, or will they think that I'm like settling and I've slipped my standards? I don't care about any of that. I just care about, do I like this person? Do they like me? Do I think that dating them would be a positive? Do I think that them dating me would be a positive for them? In other words, rather than worrying about, do I think this woman is high value, I'm getting you to try and ask yourself, what do I want? Like, do I want to go on a date with them? If the answer is yes, then do it. If the answer is no, then don't. If the answer is I'm not really sure, then maybe you go on one date with them to see if there's some chemistry there. Maybe you go on two dates to see if there's some chemistry there. That's it. It's very, very simple. So I don't think you have to worry about what a high value human being is. I think you just, with each person, say, do I like this person? Do I think they're a net positive on my life, or they could be a net positive on my life? Could they add to my life, and could I add to their life? And if so, you know, if I think that I could bring them some happiness and they could bring me some happiness, amazing, let's do it. And you can kind of use that same template with friendships as well, or potential friendships. Like, do I think being friends with this person would add to my life? And do I think that I could add a little bit to their life? If so, awesome. Let's try it out. And you don't have to know the answer to that question, by the way. You don't have to know, like, yes, definitively, I think I could add value to their life. You don't have to know that. You're just sort of saying, do I think that potentially I could add to their life and they could potentially add to mine? If so, let's keep an open mind and hang out a little bit and see what happens. And that's all dating really is. It's just you hanging out with someone a couple of times to see if there's some chemistry there, seeing if you think that you can add to each other's lives. Because that's what dating is, right? That's the point of any relationship or any sexual experience with someone else. You're both doing it because you think that your lives will be a little bit better if you do. And so that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what someone else thinks is high value, or, you know, the right man or the right woman. Like, who gives a shit about any of that? Do you think this person could add a little bit to your life and you could add to theirs? If so, go for it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we will wrap up there. If you ever have any questions that you would like me to answer, you're very, very, very welcome to send them to me. Probably the easiest way is if you go on my YouTube channel, which is just Kill Your Inner Loser on YouTube. Go onto YouTube and just drop a comment on any video. I read all comments and then I can answer them either as a podcast or a video, but I'm very happy to answer questions. On top of that, you know, you can hit me up for coaching and then I can answer all of your questions and help you build an amazing, incredible, holy shit life. While I've got you here, ladies and gentlemen, if any of you are listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or anywhere else really, it would mean a lot to me if you get something out of these podcasts, if you would leave a review. 5 stars would be amazing. A 5-star review on Spotify or Apple freaking iTunes or whatever, that would mean a hell of a lot to me. At the moment on Spotify, we have 85 positive, like 5-star reviews. Let's crack 100 if we can. So I would really appreciate that. And if not, that's amazing too. As always, ladies and gentlemen, go out there and crush those damn goals.